We're focusing around the communion table, and we want to talk to you about corporate prayer, and we want to practice corporate prayer with each other. If you're here and you're visiting and you know Jesus, we hope that today you reconnect with him and you're encouraged in your walk. For our people, we hope that today is a day, this is a safe place for you to cry out to God and feel his touch and his restoration in his hand. And if you're just exploring faith and relationship with God, we invite you to sit and to feel the moving of God and the love of God's people for one another. But today we want to have a time of corporate prayer around some themes. Now, prayer is a couple of things, right? We know in Scripture that it talks about prayer, go into your prayer closet and don't pray like the Pharisees did standing on a street corner. And so there's intimate and personal communication with God where you both pour your heart out to God and he speaks to you. And there's praying through Scripture, and there's things that are intensely personal about it. But there's also a corporate aspect to prayer that's practiced in the community of faith when believers come together. And we have it from the Old Testament on where they gathered and they heard the word and they responded to God and they prayed to their God. And if you want the Bobism for what we're going to do today, we're going to lead you in different themes and we're going to together join our hearts in agreement before God. You say, well, how do I participate in corporate prayer? What do I do? Well, I'll tell you what, you listen to the words, and if that's for you, you would affirm in your heart, me too, Lord. Now, some of you are Mennonite, white, repressed people like myself. Okay? Yeah. Amen? Yeah, see? I had to get it out of him. He didn't even just say amen.
I was saying it in my spirit.
Yeah.
I agree.
And so you're silently in affirmation and you're joining your hearts with others. Some of you come from another background where it's a little freer and you would say, me too. Yes, Lord. And you would affirm that you're in agreement with what's being said, and that's the prayer of your heart as well. But listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. As Jesus is talking and he says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything, they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. The Bible's clear that something really interesting happens when the people of God gather and when they agree in spirit and in heart and they let the Spirit of God move. In Acts, in the New Testament, we find this. The church is young and they're just coming together. And it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And listen to what happens. And the awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. That the presence of God was real and tangible, felt and experienced. And in Acts 14, it talks about when they'd appointed elders for them in every church, with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Let me tell you a little bit about the preparation for this service. The elders met this morning, and we prayed, and we're here to serve you, and there'll be opportunity to be prayed for if you would like. And we want you to know that we believe that God will be at work in and through our service in our time of corporate prayer. Enough explanation about what we're doing? Are you excited? See, yes. They're the repressed. They're not the agree in your heart bunch.
Yeah. We have lots of Mennonites, apparently.
Yes. The other thing we're going to do is through three different themes and through communion, Chris and I are going to co-lead you. And we're going to talk back and forth. And so if you see us shooting looks at each other, somebody went off script. But generally, you point at me. Yeah. The first place I want to start with, the prayer of thanksgiving and praise. Today's our annual meeting. We have an annual report out. It's a time of reviewing what happened over the last year. But, you know, I just want to say how proud I am to be your pastor and how much we have to be thankful for. And God commands us to start with this posture, this positioning of ourselves to be a thankful and a praise-giving people, right? Listen to what it says in Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. Now, we've been talking about that in Ephesians, right? That we're one body. and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts towards God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Today, as we start with a prayer of thanksgiving and praise, let me remind you of the themes that we've been going through in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2. The things that are at the essence of our relationship with God that we need to join our hearts together in giving thanks for. Paul is saying, know that you were chosen before the beginning of time, that God had you in mind, that you're adopted as sons and daughters in Christ, that when you realize what God did to pay the penalty for your wrath through his son Christ, he not only chose you, he adopted you. You are now forgiven. You don't have to pay the price of your sin or endure the wrath of God for eternity because he provided the substitute in your place. And you're redeemed. You're bought back. He did that through the death of his son on a cross. You're given an inheritance. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit, that you went from dead to being alive, that God gave you his spirit to live and to dwell in you, and that you have an eternal future. And it says the kindness of God will be revealed for eternity towards you. He says that we who were far away, who had no hope, who were different and born into different places and from different backgrounds, were made one in Christ. That we're now all children of God, that we're citizens of heaven, and that we've been given the ability to boldly approach our Father. And so today, recognizing all that's been done, coming to the communion table, we start with a posture of being thankful.
So just in case you thought I was being eye candy, which is really weird in itself, I do get to do some of this. So part of what we're going to do is we're going to bring to you the scriptural, theological kind of thinking on each type of prayer. And then we're going to go through some, what's God doing here? And then we're going to actually pray together. And so my job in the first part here is to talk, okay, so what's God doing? What do we have to be thankful for? And I think this is a hard question for me. Like every week we do this in staff meeting, and I'm listening to everybody. And when it gets to me, I'm like, oh, I'm not thinking about it, right? So it is, actually. He's not even kidding. Here's my deal. I really think that that a Thanksgiving is a posture. And Bob opened up with that. It's a posture. And it doesn't generate from your circumstances. Thanksgiving does not come from just the things that are happening in your life right now. And I think it was really clear with as we're going through the Ephesians is that our thankfulness is actually rooted in something much deeper, much greater, and something that will still be present 1,000 years from now. And those are the every spiritual blessing that comes from the throne of Christ. That's what we have to be deeply thankful for, and that's where we root our thankfulness. So when we pray those things right off the bat. That's where our thankfulness comes from. Because when we're thankful for that, the circumstantial things, the things in life that come and go, we're already in that posture of thanksgiving. And it changes. It changes the way we look at those things. And so here's what we have to be thankful for. God is at work here in Cold Lake, in this congregation. We've witnessed his work for years now, and it's just been so cool. Believers are growing in their faith. Their love for God is growing. Their love for one another is growing. And we see this in our community groups, and we see this on Sunday mornings as we try to get people to come in because they're visiting out there, because there's this spirit of hospitality here, and there's this spirit of friendship and connection and love. And that's God. That's God at work. And so I'm so thankful. This church hasn't always been like that. I've been here for 13 plus years, and this church hasn't always had that spirit, and I'm very thankful that God has given us that. Believers are doing life together. I mean, isn't this kind of the picture of what God has asked us to do? To love one another's? How can you love one another or the one another's of the New Testament. How can you practice those one another's if you're not doing life with each other? And so I see this happening. I see that's God at work in our midst. That's him doing those things. And so I'm thankful for that. People are becoming Christians. We've had a couple of students become Christians, and some of them are here right now. So it's like awesome. Taryn became a Christian last week or 2 weeks ago, right? So awesome. Yes. So exciting. Sorry, Taryn. I can't help it. I'm really excited. We have people becoming Christians. And so it's so exciting. And not just students. We have adults coming to Christ too. And so we have to be thankful because that's not us. It's Christ drawing people to himself and saving them. It's awesome. God has been incredibly generous to us. He's used his people, you guys, to be generous. And we've had all sorts of incredible things happen in here, and we've funded missions, and we've done all sorts of things that God has just been really generous to us in providing for our every need as a church. And it's just been really cool to see God kind of infuse that generosity in his people. I'm so thankful for that. Finally, I'm thankful for the unity we have. Again, this is, unfortunately, for most churches, I would say, unity is something that seems to be a foreign concept. It's out there. The Bible says we're one, but man, it doesn't seem like it. One of the things that I've noticed here over the last few years is an incredible unity with God's people. And I think that's partly from what God is doing and growing in love for one another, people doing life together. And I think it's really exciting. So as we bow our heads, let's keep these things in mind. We're going to thank God for these things. And you know what? Here's the thing. In church, a lot of people are like, go like, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down. This is crazy. What are we doing here? I didn't go to the gym to work out, right? So, but that's what we're going to do today. We're going to give you a little bit of a workout. We're going to stand up. And so if you would like to join your hearts with us as we pray, stand up. You don't have to stand up. If you want to stay seated, if you're visiting going like, this is weird, just have a seat. Nobody's going to think anything bad of you, okay? So if you'd like to join your heart with mine and Bob's as we pray, I just ask you to stand. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we have so much to be thankful for. But we need to start where we need, where it all begins. And Lord, it begins with you and who you are, and what you have done. Father, it doesn't begin with us. And so, Lord, thank you that you took us who were dead in our transgressions, that you infused us with your life, that you opened our eyes to the gospel, that we were able to see you and who you are for the first time. For those of us who are believers, Lord, that's our story, and we're so thankful for that. We're thankful, Lord, that even though we didn't deserve to be adopted, we didn't deserve to be redeemed, we didn't deserve these things, and yet you, Lord, you loved us, and you chose us. You've adopted us. What an incredible truth. And Lord, it didn't stop there. You've redeemed us. You've taken the penalty for sin upon yourself for us. And Lord, it keeps going. We would have the most thankful hearts just thinking about this. And yet you go further. Father, you've given us an inheritance beyond our wildest dreams, that we might share in Christ's inheritance, Lord, that you have given him already. That we would have a share in that, just, it blows my mind. And finally, Lord, you have sealed us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that being a Christian isn't like being a yo-yo, that we're not in, we're not out, we're not in, out. Lord, that you hold on to us, that nothing can separate us from your love. We're so thankful for that. And Lord, with these things in mind, we are also thankful for what you are doing today in our hearts and in our church and in our community, that people are becoming Christians, that people are growing. Thank you, Lord, that we are growing in love, and continue to do that for us. Lord, we want to love you more. We want more of you. And thank you, Lord, that you have been doing that. And we want to love others. And so, Lord, I pray that you would grant us that as well. Father, thank you for the new believers that you've given us. Thank you for that we are able to do life together, and you've actually given us those connections and that love for one another. It's just been incredible. So Lord, we come before you acknowledging that everything, every single thing that is good in our lives has been given to us by you. These are all gifts. The fact that we can breathe air, it's a gift from you. So Lord, from the deep spiritual truths to the day-to-day things, you give us food that you provide for us. We are thankful people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For our second section of prayer here, we want to talk about praying for one another. And there's a passage that Paul wrote to the Philippians in the book of Philippians that I think is just perfect. It's a perfect prayer. Gee, it's funny that it's in Scripture, right? It's a perfect prayer for believers. It's really, really good. And it's found in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 to 11. This is what it says. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of our God. This is a great prayer, and I just want to break it down for us quickly before Bob leads us in a time of prayer. First of all, that we may grow in love. This is the basis, guys. Jesus said himself, these two things, the law and the prophets, the entire Bible hangs on these two statements. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is where we need to grow. When Paul's saying abounding more and more in love, this is what he's talking about, our love for God and our love for one another. That we would grow in knowledge. I mean, this is one of the reasons why we do services where we have people up here jabbering. They're not jabbering. They're preaching, right? They're preaching the word. It's not just a space that we're trying to fill. It's that we need knowledge. We want God to speak to us. And it's not just the preacher speaking to us. We want the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. So we want that kind of knowledge. And then discernment. Man, I mean, this is something as a student pastor here, I see on a daily basis. I pray for our students. Lord, give them discernment. There's so much in our world. Everyone's preaching at us. The media's preaching at us. Music is preaching at us. Advertisements on TV are preaching at us. The radio's preaching at us. We're getting preached at left, right, and center. Guys at work, guys at school, wherever you are, people are preaching at us. And so we need discernment. We need to understand what is from God and what is not, and what God has for us. And so these three things are things that Paul prays for the Philippian believers. And this is why. So that we might approve what is excellent, right? I mean, that's the wheelhouse of discernment, right? We want to know what's excellent in God's eyes. So that we might be pure and blameless. So he doesn't expect us just to gain the knowledge, but to actually put it into practice. That this knowledge and the putting it in practice of these things that we learn would grant us this pure and blameless stature before God. And it's not just our personal holiness he's talking about here, but we need to pray these things as God just does this work in our life, and he's the one that gives us this purity and this holiness. And finally, to be filled with the fruit of righteousness, we want to put these things into practice. We want to see God work in us and through us. And so that's kind of the spiritual aspect, and Bob's going to take it away here for the practical stuff.
One of my deep desires is that we have a culture that develops in our church. How many of you planted your tomatoes this week outside? Anybody? Nobody? Why not? It's inhospitable. It's not conducive to. And one of the things that we work very, very hard at, and you need to know we're intentional about, is an atmosphere, a culture here where we pray openly with one another and we pray often with one another. And we pray together before God. We want this to be a place where we weep with those who weep and we rejoice with those who rejoice. As I look over this last year, man, we had a great time in Easter, and we started a Saturday night service, and we were packed out, and we had this time of rejoicing, and there was people coming to Christ and cool things happening. And we came into our summer, and there was amazing response to a missions trip, and the money was raised, and we had all these things to rejoice about. And yet over the summer we lost one of our prayer warriors, like Maria, and we had staff people go through difficult times, and we had transfers that were hard, and we had these moments in life that were high and these moments in life that were low. These moments in life that were waiting on God to respond and you were in a holding pattern, and these moments on life where God came through, and we did it together in many ways. Some of you shared in your community group, some of it what happened here, but we want to be a body who provides the opportunity to pray for one another and to pray the things that God would have us pray into each other's lives. And so in your corporate gatherings like today, you're going to see us praying for one another, for people going on missions, inviting you to come for prayer and to be prayed for. In your community groups, you're going to see that prayer is a cornerstone, that we just absolutely put it out there and say, one of the essential things you need to do is to share needs, to share with one another, and to pray together. You'll see that there's opportunities for elders to anoint and to pray over you and to pray for you. And one of the ways that in our body we're trying to get even stronger is praying for new believers, those who need covering and encouragement. Could I just give you like a personal aside here for a minute? A large number of the kids that come to our youth program are community kids, are from unchurched backgrounds and homes. And when they respond to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and they commit their lives, what they don't have is a prayer covering at home. And the Bible tells us we have an enemy that wants to destroy and wants to tear down. And one of the great things that we corporately do as a body is we pray the covering of God and the protection of God over those new believers. And we care for them. And so you need to know that we're a church that wants to be a place that develops a culture that prays openly, prays often, and prays together, and a place where we pray the right things for one another. And so if you're here this morning and you're part of this church, I want you to stand and to listen to the words and to join your hearts with mine. Or if you're part of the family of God, stand with me as I lead you in prayer for one another. Almighty God in heaven, I am humbled and privileged to stand before these, my friends. You have given Corrine and I and our children the ability to come and to do life and do ministry here. And I want to give you thanks for these people. You've gathered in this place people who love you and are in various stages of their walk with you. And I want to commend them to your care. And Lord, we just pray this on each other. First, Lord, would you do a deep spiritual work? We're not asking you to change all the circumstances, but we begin with, would you inflame our love for you and for each other? Lord, as we love you more and we allow you to change our lives and we love one another more, we become this incredible light to a world around us. We become something completely different in the darkness. And so, Lord, would you grow our love for you and for one another? Secondly, Father, would your Holy Spirit enlighten the eyes of our heart to knowledge? Lord, would you reveal your desire for your children and your desire for us, your church? And then would you grant us discernment, the wisdom to rightly apply knowledge in dealing with one another and in moving forward in walking with you? Would we be known as wise and discerning people because you, Father, are the one that grants us wisdom and discernment? I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. Fill us to overflowing. And Lord, would we be marked differently? Would all who encounter us sense the Spirit of the very living God filling us, empowering us, equipping us? Grant us the privilege, Lord, to feel with other believers, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Would you grant me the privilege to know their pain and to walk alongside them, to know their need and to share what you've given me to meet their need, to know their rejoicing and to be able to praise you and celebrate you with them. But Lord, grant me the privilege to feel and to be family. offer to us in this place your protection? Would you prevent Satan from bringing division and disturbance? But Lord, would you grant to us your protection and your empowerment? And then finally, Lord, as a group, we stand in your presence and we ask this. Would you speak to us? And would we know your voice and respond? So we're listening, Lord. Please speak. And please give us the courage to say yes and to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So, we're going to have communion now, and the elders are going to come, and Kevin and the team are going to come. But I need to give you just a little more instruction about praying with one another and praying together. One of the great themes in Ephesians is we've been reconciled to God. So, understand, we were apart from God, we were dead in our sin, we were worthy of the wrath of God, and He took action on our behalf, and He sent His Son to die in our place, and He reconciled us to Himself. He dealt with that payment. And then as He's called us to be part of one family, we found out that they were of different backgrounds and different socioeconomic things, and they were very different people. And He said, now you're going to be one, I'm going to make you one, and you need to be reconciled to one another. And He deals very firmly with that reconciliation. And then further on, He tells us that we're now going to be agents of reconciliation to our world. And we're coming to a time of communion. And so I need to give you some instructions, and then we're going to sing a song, and you need to have some quiet time before God and let Him talk to you. The first instruction is this. If today you need a touch from God, you need an elder to pray for you, you just need prayer for something, and you want to come, while this song is on, these men are here. They've cleansed their hearts before God. They're ready to just pray for you. You're welcome to come and sit at the front. And they're just going to move along and they're just going to pray with you. And secondly, as you check your heart and you prepare for communion in this very corporate gathering where we're doing this together as a family of God, I need to give you a warning. As God has gone to great lengths to reconcile us to Him, and as He's commanded us to be reconciled to one another, the Bible has this interesting warning for us. It says when you come to participating in communion and corporately doing this, if you have something against your brother in your heart, you need to set that down and deal with it and get it cleaned up. You need to be reconciled fully to one another, because that's part of us loving each other and us being a part of our world. This is probably the scariest thing in the world for a pastor, eh, Chris? Because pretty much
you do this part.
Most of the people that are going to need reconciliation probably have to talk to you or me, so we should be in the corner. But while Kevin's leading us in a song, if you want to be prayed for, come and be prayed for. If you need to prepare your heart to participate corporately in communion. But if God reveals something to you and they're in the room, slide across the room or go and see somebody. Or lay down that thing that's between you and be reconciled one to another. Forgive as Christ has forgiven you. And come expecting God to meet you in a big way as you're obedient to what He calls you to do. We'll give you a moment to just bow your heads before God. Join Kevin in song. If you want to come and be prayed for, come and be prayed for. God prompts you to deal with some things, deal with them, and we're going to move into communion after that. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. It's interesting that Paul has just made this amazing account where he said, you were this, and now you're this. And he says, you need to understand who you are, because it changes everything about what you do. And because of God's great love for you, and because He gave His Son, and because He has adopted you and chosen you and redeemed you and forgiven you and done all of this for you, He is crafting and creating in you something because He has a purpose for you. In 2 Corinthians 5, it talks about us being ambassadors. In Matthew chapter 9, we're commanded by Jesus to pray for workers because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Paul exclaims this in Romans 10, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. And we see an example of praying for the lost. Ephesians 6, we'll get to this in our study a little later on, says, and Paul's asking them to pray, and also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I might declare it boldly as I ought. The example in Scripture is clear and compelling, that God calls His people to be a light, to be ambassadors, to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within them. But He compels them. The example, the instruction, it's all there. We are to pray for those, that their eyes would be opened, that God would reveal Himself to them, that they would respond to the life-saving work that God did, because He wishes that none perish. And corporately, we need to be a people who pray that way.
So as we lift our hearts in prayer this morning, some things we need to think about. God at work in our community here. People, like we already mentioned, there's people coming to know Jesus. When we redid the sanctuary, there's names underneath the carpet on this floor that people were committed to pray for, because we were like, there's people in my life that God has placed in my life that need to know Jesus. And so those names are still there under our carpets. The community groups have prayer jars where they put the names of people that they're praying for on a weekly basis in their prayer jars. And they pray on a weekly basis for these people. Our God stories, we did just a few months ago before Christmas, we did a series on passing on faith. And, you know, we didn't do a God stories kind of two-parter, right? We could fill some sermon spots. We need to do these things. We need to understand that God is using us, that we are being, we come to church on Sunday to get filled up and then sent out back into our mission field. This is such an important understanding of who you are in Christ and what your role is in His body. So you need to have these things. Jesus has given you a mission field. Whether you think that or not, He's given you a mission field, and He wants you to shine the light of Christ in that mission field, because this is a dark place. Whether you work in the oil field, on base, whether you go to school, wherever, it's dark out there, and the light of Christ needs to shine. And the light doesn't just come together and shine today. That as we go out, we want our lights to shine in our entire community. And finally, here's what we're going to pray. Specifically, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that Satan has blinded the spiritual eyes of unbelievers. This is one of the reasons why we don't try to argue people into faith. This is why it's an act of God. This is why we're praying this morning. Because God's got to move first. Because you can have the best arguments about what color the chair is, but if the person is blind, it doesn't matter, right? And so this is what we want. We want God to open the eyes of our friends who don't know Jesus. So if you'd like to stand with me and join my heart as we pray for our community and pray for unbelievers, I'd invite you to do that now. Heavenly Father, this is a big deal. Thank you that this is not on our shoulders, actually convincing people of who you are. That this is something you've done from the start, that you have opened the eyes of people. That our job, Father, is to pray, is to share the message of the hope that you've put in us. To give that answer when people ask, why are you the way you are? Lord, that's our role. Your role is the saving role. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing the heavy lifting in this area. So, Lord, we just want to pray for our community. This is a dark place spiritually. People desperately need you. There's so much brokenness out there. Father, we just pray that you would break into the darkness, that you would use this little light that we have here to shine so brightly in this community, Lord, that we would just be astounded by your work. So, Lord, give us the words that we may, as Paula asked, to go boldly into our workplaces and into our schools and into the soccer pitch or into the arenas or wherever we might be, to shine the light of Christ brightly, Lord. We need you to do that. We can't do it on our own. Finally, Lord, we ask that you would open the eyes of our friends who don't know you and who are praying for, that they might see, that you would give them eyes to see, maybe for the first time, who you are and what they can have in you, these spiritual blessings that we thanked you for at the beginning, that they might partake in that they might have a share in that. Open their eyes, Lord. Open their eyes to the gospel. Help them to understand it for the first time. Help them to see you. So we pray these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, and the Savior of those who are lost. We got one more song. All right. We're going to go one more song. So stay standing, and then we'll have a benediction.
Yeah.